And now, the KHMB feature story of the week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB feature story of the week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
We note the passing of civic leader and activist Al Advervino. Al passed away on May 18th at the age of 102. In October of 2024, we had the pleasure of sitting down with the Coastside legend. Here now is some of that interview.
Now, tell us something and tell our listeners something that we don't know about you.
Well, I was involved in baseball in high school. Actually, I started before high school with the CYO League up in the Daly City, Colma area. That's where I was born and raised. And I played 2 years in high school and then 2 years in San Mateo Junior College, where I led the league in batting and stolen bases. So I was really involved with, when I was in the service, we had a team there as well, because I was fortunate enough to be an instructor at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, in the Army Engineer Corps, and every battalion had a baseball team. And once we got formed, we had like a round robin, and we just beat everybody, and won the championship, and then we actually were taking over the duties of what was then called the base league team. But about that time, I got shipped out. But two of the players we had on our team were pro athletes. One was a pitcher for the New York Giants, and the other was a second baseman with the Philadelphia Phillies. And when I left them to go overseas, they made me promise that when I returned home, that I would try out for Major League Baseball. Well, when I got home, I was so far out of shape, I just couldn't do it anymore. So that was the end of my baseball career.
Oh, but that made you sad? I mean, that you...
Hell, it was kind of sad, but I'm one of those guys that rolls with the punches and figured out, well, that's what was meant to be, so be it.
Are you one of these people now that when you see our home team, like the San Francisco Giants, how they play and who they play and how they run...
I have my thoughts on that.
Oh, I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts on that,
No,
you?
I do like baseball. You know, and this is true of anybody that has any sports in mind. Everybody can, you know, watch football and baseball, and some people, even golf, they say, oh, it's so boring. Well, I was a pretty good golfer as well. I know the ins and outs pretty well, and I enjoy watching it because I can appreciate what these guys have to go through, and especially if it's a course that I've played. Then
have you played any of the local courses around here?
Well, you know, they say that if you can't fall asleep, that you count sheep. I count the golf courses I've played in my lifetime, and I've gotten to over 130 golf courses that I've played.
Got any favorites?
Well, I have several favorites. Well, one of them's right here in Half Moon Bay. This Half Moon Bay course is something that's fantastic. But I have my favorites on the peninsula, and I've played on 25 courses in Hawaii alone.
Wow.
So I have my favorites there as well.
Yes, yes.
And at one point when I was in my 80s, quite a few times I shot scores that were under my age, which is something not too many golfers can say they did.
Speaking of which, you had a birthday in July, and you made it to 101. You're now working on 102. And I have to say, for our listeners, I'm actually sitting next to you enjoying our conversation, and you look pretty healthy to me. How do you feel?
All in all, I feel pretty good. You know, age is something that's chronological. It's also something that's in your mind, because some people are old at 40, and some people are still young at my age. And I try to keep my mind as active as possible. Physically, I can't do a great deal because I have some other problems. But my mind, I like to take care of. In the mornings, I look at the paper, do the crossword puzzles there and the Sudoku there. Then I have an iPad that I use to do Sudoku, and I had crossword puzzles on there as well. And I send out emails to certain people every day. Then in the afternoon, I read a good book. I'll read for 2-3 hours in the afternoon and then maybe watch a little TV. Funny thing is, I find myself, when I'm reading the book, sometimes I'm waking up looking at the page and say, where did I leave off? I actually fall asleep while I'm reading sometimes. But then when I do doze off, like that, it's not for very long, but peps me up. And I go on.
I want to circle back just for a second. You made reference to your military days, and I know I was looking at your resume and some of the duties and the responsibilities you had, and you were stateside, of course, and you trained people and you were in all manner of things. But then that fateful day came when a lot of what you were doing in theory became reality. And I'm thinking specifically about a reference you made in your comments once upon a time to landing in Okinawa and being part of that campaign. What memories do you have of that?
Well, the reason I went overseas, there were 14 of us. There were 12 enlisted men, all sergeants and corporals, and two officers. We split up into two teams, what we call the Bailey Bridge team. We were specialists. And we went over on special assignment to the island of Leyte. They flew us, actually, from Alameda Naval Air Station to Hawaii and on to Leyte, where we finally landed and ended up. But unfortunately, we were delayed in loot many times, and we got there too late to do any good there. We were supposed to teach the engineers there or brush up on techniques of building the Bailey Bridge. It was like an erector set. Very simple once you've done it. But we, like I say, we got there too late. They had everything loaded aboard ships for their next invasion. Rather than send us back home, they said, well, as long as you're here, just keep us company, and you can teach us when we need you, which we did. We stayed with them, and we shipped off to Okinawa, and the worst thing I can remember about that was the trip there, because we were right in the middle of a typhoon. I mean, and that ship was rocking up. Half the time, the screw was out of water, and the ship was just vibrating, and we were hoping that it would hold together. But when we landed in the bay at Okinawa, it was dark. It was calm as this tabletop. They got us up about 2 o'clock in the morning and fed us a healthy breakfast, and then it was over the side in the landing, and our group was and the second wave going ashore on Okinawa. It was a peaceful landing, actually, but then that night all hell broke loose. The kamikaze planes were flying over and attacking our ships that were in the harbor, and that campaign ended up being the costliest one in the Pacific theater of operation, men-wise, equipment-wise, and all in all.
Did you lose any friends?
No, I didn't lose any friends. I was very, very fortunate. Because we were there as backup help, and we did go to the front lines a couple of nights when it was built. Bridges were built at night, and we only had two occasions to go help, and I never even heard a rifle shot. That's as close as I got to actual combat, although artillery shells flying over our heads was something else.
My parents, of course, were part of World War II, and the feeling I get, I was born actually towards the end of World War II in 1945 when things were kind of coming to an end, but the feeling I get by talking, having talked to them and just general history is that people were very patriotic in those days, and how do you feel about patriotism today versus back then?
I have mixed feelings about it. You know, there was a lot more patriotism back then, I think, than we have today. I don't know. Our society has changed a great deal since the 40s. I grew up during the Great Depression. I was just a kid at that time, and we didn't have the give out, you know, the handout programs that the government has today to take care of people. People help each other more so than they do today. Although, I don't know. I think the old ways were much better than that, but the thinking was much better than what it is today. Although, you know, there was anti-war sentiment, even those before we got involved, because the British were trying to get President Roosevelt to engage, you know, in the European war. But the sentiment at home was, that's not our fight. Let's stay home. And, of course, once we were attacked at Pearl Harbor, then everybody jumped into the situation. I mean, it was all gung-ho. Let's win this war.
A lot of people volunteered. I know my father,
for
example.
Oh, yes, they did. Oh, yes, my brother was one of them. He wasn't even of age, but he volunteered.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of snuck in under the age limit.
Yeah, well, I was already in. I had already been drafted. I was 19 at the time. He was a senior in high school, but he wanted to join the Navy. And my mother would write to me and say, write to your brother and tell him to stay home and finish his school. And my brother would write to me and say, tell Mama to let me go. So I convinced my mother that the Navy was probably better than being in the Army. But I take that all back today, because I've seen what those people went through as well. It wasn't only the ground forces in the Army that took the beatings. The Navy took some beatings as well, especially in the Pacific.
You've been blessed 101 years of life. I almost was going to give you 102 or 3, but we'll get there in time. But but when you look back over your life and all the things you've experienced and all the people you've met and all of the ups and the downs, the good times and the bad times, what would you say is your most fondest memory of your life?
One of the most gratifying things that happened to me was when I was asked to be on the committee to build a new high school here in Half Moon Bay, on the bond committee. And the first attempt failed, and I had become friends with one of the board members at that time, and he kind of begged me to do it. So I took over the chairmanship of the bond drive, the second bond drive, and we worked our butts off, and we got that bond passed, and that's why the high school is built where it is today, back in around 1960.
Well, there's no question but that you've left your mark on our community, and I've never really had the pleasure of sitting down and visiting with you before. It's been an honor, my friend, and I appreciate everything you've done, even before I came to Half Moon Bay. The Half Moon Bay that I know is as good as it is, in large measure, thanks to you. And so thank you for all that you've done for us, and may you have many more years of blissful living on the coastside.
Well, I thank you very much for the honor of having been interviewed.
We note with sadness the passing of Al Adverino. He did so much for the Coastside community. May he always be remembered with great fondness. For the feature story of the week, this is Jim Henderson.